Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons. And today we have Taylor Jones. Taylor, it's great to see you.
Thank you, Daryl. Happy New Year. And I guess happy that 2024 is gone one way or another.
And here you have a piece of Jimmy Carter with his Habitat for Humanity metaphor in his feet. And that's just lovely. Taylor, I think you are just the most brilliant caricaturist. And I just had to have you for our Jimmy Carter obituary podcast because you have so many lovely Jimmy Carter.
Thank you. I'm old enough to have been drawing him in real time when he was president. And same with you.
Here you have Jimmy the Energizer Bunny. This is one of the classic editorial cartoonist metaphors because our news just is on repeat and it goes on forever.
Of course, as did Jimmy Carter. And this, of course, is the abbreviated version of the cartoon. The original one was when Jimmy Carter kept passing these milestones, 90, 95. So it's like we're all waiting just in case. But the original, it would be on the right-hand side, the cartoon would be extended, and you had his famous killer rabbit hiding in the...
Well, then people are not going to remember all of these things.
No, I know.
Mean, for us, we know the killer rabbit. It led to just a whole bunch of editorial cartoons. Jimmy Carter was out on a boat, and this rabbit swam out to him and threatened him like Jaws. And this was the time of the movie Jaws. And so this had a resonance with everybody. He needed a bigger boat. And that was fun. But we have a problem here, Taylor, which is that our little syndicate has only been in business for 25 years. So our archives start 25 years ago, yeah. And we don't have killer rabbits. We don't have anything from when Jimmy Carter was actually president, only from quite a bit after he was president.
True. And yet I am not the only person who has referred to the killer rabbit in Carter cartoons that have been posted on your site. And of course, newspaper readership, the dwindling newspaper readership out there, a lot of them remember it too.
But we must explain these things because we are really old. And here you have Jimmy talking to Trump. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And Trump says, "Only $59.95.
Yes, of course, he's holding his Trump Bible. And everything's got a price tag for the money coming directly to Trump. And
Jimmy Carter's age spots make me laugh.
Yeah, he's got a lot of them. He had a fair-skinned lad.
So we're recording this on January 2nd, and on January 9th, he's going to have his big funeral procession in Washington, D.C. So we will leave this up for a few days. And tell us about this one. You've got "I Want You to Join the War on Poverty" from LBJ, "I Want You to Join the War on Drugs" from Richard Nixon, and "I Want You to Join the Moral Equivalent of War" from Jimmy Carter.
This was a piece for Hoover Digest, and it was basically talking about how none of these things work. The war on poverty, sometimes it succeeds, sometimes it fails. Just often it depends on how the general economy is doing. And of course, the war on drugs failed. And they were making a point, too, because the Hoover Institution doesn't think much of Jimmy Carter. Maybe they probably give him kudos for the Camp David Accords.
We're going to show a number of cartoons from cartoonists who still didn't have a good view of Jimmy Carter.
Oh, right. We're going to. But the moral equivalent of war, which Carter made in one of his White House addresses, they showed how that failed and how it should have failed.
And here you have a Mount Rushmore. That's all Jimmy Carter. We have so many Mount Rushmore cartoons and so many that are all Trump.
Yeah. Oh, well, this one, actually, I drew this again. This is when he first went into hospice. And I drew this cartoon and set it aside. And then I forgot about it. In fact, I haven't posted it with you all yet. So I'm going to post it for the Memorial Day for Carter on the 9th of January.
I have lots of mixed feelings about Jimmy Carter. I think he had lots of pluses and minuses, but it is sad to see him go. But quite a success to live to be 100. Okay, one last Habitat for us all. This is from Steve Sack. Facing mortality with humility, grace, and courage is Jimmy Carter, and building a Habitat for Humanity house. And
a terrific cartoon. Nice. As always with Steve Sack, he just sums it up so succinctly.
And here's John Darko, Jimmy banging on his Habitat for Humanity house in heaven. And St. Peter says, "Hey, Jimmy, take a break. You already earned your wings."
Very good. It is always beautifully drawn by Mr. Darko.
So here you got Pat Bagley, and Jimmy's got his hammer, and he's singing, "If I Had a Hammer." That's a cute little
thing. Brilliant, I think. That's a brilliant for Pat to thought of that and to put it down so well. Just wonderful.
And this is Adam Ziglis with Jimmy scooping up his honesty, integrity, kindness, humanity, peace, peanuts.
He's
the famous
right
peanut farmer. Here's another nice
Ziglis caricature. And one of the few, go back a second. one of the few closed mouth characters of Jimmy Carter, because even in death, you remember his teeth.
He had a recognizable smile. Now that's what I call a Habitat for Humanity as he's walking away from the earth that he just hammered together. I'm not sure that I look at him that way, but it's nice that others do. Here he is, having built his wings and his halo from Rick McKee. That was nice.
That's nice. My feeling about Jimmy Carter was that he was, it's not that he was a bad president, it's that he was an ineffectual one. In some ways.
You remember his presidency from the time it was just dominated by that Iran hostage crisis. And well, that came again. all these other things that we talked about Jimmy Carter for, they were just overshadowed by that. Coverage every night.
That was the last year, but he had other problems with the for instance, his famous Malay speech, I believe, was before the hostage crisis. I'm not certain about that. But in some ways, I think Carter is most reminiscent of Herbert Hoover, and both were engineers, and both were incredibly intelligent.
Because the economy did poorly.
They were in, but their responses were ineffectual. And the depression took a long time to get through it. FDR was exceptionally effectual, if that's a word. And it's hard to be an effective leader if you don't have that ability. And that's enough of me. That's great.
Here's a nice Jim Day cartoon. I miss Jim Day. He was a cartoonist in Las Vegas and kind of disappeared. And if he watches this, send me an email, Jim.
Yeah.
This is from Rat. Our new cartoonist named Paul Tarr, T-A-R-R, which kind of explains R-A-T-T. But you could call him an anonymous cartoonist. We're not listing his name in his bio.
So that's what's his name, who's no longer with you.
Yeah, what's his name? And this is also
the guy dressed like a terrorist.
Jimmy Carter is no longer with us. And this is from Marion Kaminsky, which I thought was pretty weird. I'm not sure. So Jimmy Carter, I guess, is getting a better halo than Trump is getting from Musk.
I guess Trump's getting a worldly halo and Carter's getting an otherworldly halo.
Worldly. Honest, kind, selfless, charitable, humble, devout, loyal, dedicated, genuine.
How did he ever become president?
Yeah, I wonder of course, with Carter's passing, there was a lot of footage and audio of Carter in such a different time.
It's nice to remember people nicely, yeah. Even if we don't really feel that way. Jimmy Carter, 39th President of the United States by Ed Wexler. That's Ed clearly likes Jimmy Carter.
Fine caricature by Ed, as always. And of course, that is the classic old Jimmy Carter pose.
It's interesting when people die, all the images are when they're their oldest. When, in fact, when you're dead, you're every age you were. They could draw any age.
I don't think I pulled it off very well, but on that Mount Cartermore cartoon, I did Carter at different. I did him, one caricature on the left, the face on the left was when he was president, and then the last one was at his oldest.
Here is Randy Enos closing the curtain on Jimmy Carter.
This is a strange way to put it.
Closing the curtain's a very standard kind of metaphor.
Yeah, I could see where, I don't know what to think of this one. I certainly wouldn't, with all the positive cartoons about Carter coming in, I wouldn't count this as one of them. Just saying it's over. He's done.
And it wasn't that long ago that his wife, Rosalind Carter, died. And we had quite a few obit cartoons for Rosalind Carter. This is from John Darko. Rosalind Carter says, "Oh, wait, Jimmy and I do everything together."
It's a nice piece. And I know I caricatured Rosalind at least once while Carter was president, but not since.
Yeah, here's Rosalind lighting up the night sky.
Oh, that's nice.
That's very nice. And Rosalind walking off into heaven with a Jimmy on her hand.
And an ad for Wrangler jeans.
This one of Rosalind Carter, Steel Magnolia from Rick McKee. I guess she was called a Steel Magnolia.
I don't know. That's the state flower, Mississippi, not Georgia.
Very good. Here's Rick with lots of get well cards for Jimmy Carter when he announced his cancer. We got a whole bunch of Jimmy Carter cartoons.
Yeah, really. People wait. Cartoon has been ready for a long time.
We had that problem with Nelson Mandela. You remember Mandela was about to die for a whole year, and all the cartoonists were drawing Nelson Mandela obits, and they were uploading them because, won't the editors want to have these ready for when Nelson Mandela dies? But what happened was editors thought, oh, Nelson Mandela must have died, and they ran an obit cartoon, and then the readers got really angry because he wasn't dead. That caused nothing but trouble for us.
Here's really old. That was the case with Francisco Franco in Spain as well.
Oh, Taylor, we're so old. All right. So here's Obama looking at Jimmy Carter in his mirror. It seems like whenever a president has trouble, a lot of the naysayers draw them as really being Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter had become this icon for a lousy president, ineffectual president.
Now, that's been translated to Spanish.
For a while, we had a Spanish language service.
Right. And I was,
the problem was the Spanish language newspapers did not pay their bills. Taylor, I forget. Did I read your bio on this?
No, it doesn't matter. It's most of it's fake.
So here it's Taylor Jones, and he is a brilliant caricaturist. He draws for the Hoover Digest at Stanford University. He was the staff cartoonist for many years at the El Nuevo Dia newspaper in Puerto Rico, and he drew for many years for U.S. News and World Report, and he's won a ton of awards. We love you, Taylor.
I have to say, I have to qualify this. I was never an employee of the El Nuevo Dia, and I wasn't technically on the staff, but I don't know, maybe 3,000 cart pieces later, it counts.
That's the nature of the way cartoonists work everywhere. So here is Jimmy Carter. That's really a pretty cute Carter. He says, I'd be comfortable with a Romney presidency. And
love the elephant.
This was one of those quotes that led to a bunch of cartoons. Worst presidents in modern American history, bad, worse, and catastrophic, thinks Rivers, our anonymous cartoonist. Habitat for Humanity as Hamas. Oh, yes, he went and talked to the Hamas people and was criticized for that. As in retrospect, I guess they are not people that are too responsive when you talk to them.
Do you know, was that before or after the October 7th massacre in Israel?
I think that was about 10 years before.
Okay.
So here is Sandy Huffaker. Oh. I miss Sandy Huffaker. Sandy Huffaker was a great cartoonist for us for about 10 years, and he passed away a number of years ago, and we do miss him.
He was a great cartoonist for Sports Illustrated as well.
Oh, he was in Time Magazine. Remember that?
Yep, he was.
That was when I was in high school, and he was one of my favorites. I'd buy Time Magazine just for Sandy Huffaker.
One of the few actually older than us there.
When you're dead, you're every age. My goodness. Anyway, I miss Sandy. So he's got Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter says, please forgive me for saying you were the worst president. I'm so irrelevant. I'll never tell the truth again, as he wears his sackcloth and ashes. And I remember Jimmy Carter talking about George W. Bush as the worst president, that made for a ton of cartoons because, of course, the cartoonists agree with that. Nothing to say on this?
Oh, I'm just concentrating on Huffaker's George W.
That's a wonderful George W. Here's Paresh Nath from India, having Jimmy Carter laughing about Bush as the worst in history, and J.D. Crow.
Wow.
Bush is the worst president ever. Yeah, I feel you, Jimmy. Some arrogant jerk is going to break my record too, says Hank Aaron.
That's great.
Boy, back in the... These cartoons are so old. Bob Engelhart drew Carter pointing at naked George W. Bush. And not only that, he's the worst emperor in history.
He's got George W. Bush there looking like Beetle Bailey.
As time went on, Bob drew George W. Bush more cartoony with bigger head and smaller body. It's interesting how presidents evolved.
Speaking of that, Oliphant, during Carter's presidency, kept drawing Carter smaller and smaller.
Yes.
So
shorter and shorter.
There's a lot of ideas I think a lot of us got from Oliphant.
That also happened with George W. Bush. Yeah. And in the case of many cartoonists, he looked more and more like a monkey.
He does. I portrayed him as a monkey on Jeb Bush's back once and other time. Yeah, he has a simian look about him.
That's a nice way of putting it. Mirror on the wall. Who's the worst president of them all?
That one's good. Nice one by Madsen.
Shrek, the worst administration in history. Watch how we stay relevant, Jimmy. This is George W. Bush's Shrek.
Another Madsen. That's a funny idea. I never would have thought of him as Shrek.
Jimmy Carter as the donkey makes sense. And Cheney as Puss in Boots. That's funny. I like that. Remember Mike Lane? I miss Mike Lane.
Yes, I do remember Mike Lane.
Mike Lane was just a great cartoonist for the Baltimore Sun. And he was with us for seven or 8 years before he passed away. And I miss him. He was a wonderful cartoonist who never got the attention and credit I think that he deserved. But he deserved a lot. And George W. Bush here says, some say I'm not good enough to shine your shoes. I'm good enough to shine your shoes. What do you say, Mr. Carter? Huh? Missed the spot. And Brian Farrington, our editor, used to be a great editorial cartoonist before he gave it up just to be an editor, which is, I think it's sad. Brian should draw cartoons again. So he's got Jimmy Carter's Bush is the worst in history. But let's not forget the Carter era, 12% inflation, 21% interest rates, hostage crisis, the sweaters, and don't forget disco. It's the only cartoon I've seen that blames Jimmy Carter for disco.
Yeah, then no. He was a disco era president. I loved disco.
You look funny with the shades, Taylor.
I can't stand the glare from this.
So here he is with Rosalind being a nice Habitat for Humanity guy, and she's working on mental health.
Very good.
And here's Joe Biden painting himself Norman Rockwell style as Jimmy Carter from Dick Wright, who doesn't like Biden or Jimmy Carter, so he draws the equivalent.
But a great piece.
I think we've all drawn this metaphor. Here, Joe Heller. Actually, it's more of a club than a distinction. Thanks for clearing that up. First President ever club.
Oh, that's good.
Here's Rivers again. He's combined Jimmy Carter with Joe Biden.
This is interesting. Pause on this a moment because, he's pulled it off. Now, I don't know that anybody would, without the explanation, I don't know that anybody would.
Yeah, it needs a label to know what's going on
and
here.
And yet, if you look at it, he's really pretty well combined the two.
Here's Dick Wright, who doesn't like Joe Biden.
Jimmy, what are you up to? Why do you keep smiling? Nothing, Rosalind. I'm just thanking God for Joe Biden.
He thanks him because in Dick Wright's mind, Joe Biden is worse than Jimmy Carter and makes him look good.
Gee, I just thought of this and probably shouldn't say it.
Go ahead. I can edit it out.
We may be back with Biden more cartoons before you know it.
But, think Biden's going to die soon? We're going to have all the Biden-o-bit cartoons. They're probably going to follow these same lines.
I'll tell you this. There have been times in our history when we've had a bunch of ex-presidents alive, and there have been times when we've had very few. But now, the only ex-president who's not old is Obama. And Obama's in his early 60s now.
And Clinton's the only one from the 20th century.
That's right. And I don't know, Clinton was in the hospital recently. We might have a slew of them.
Oh, boy. So the incompetent president penitentiary, that's where incompetent presidents go.
Jimmy, meet your new cellmate, Joe. He's in for serial nincompoopery, too.
That's funny that, of course, we all think of Carter today, or not Dick Wright, but Rivers. But a lot of things, the popular perception now is that Carter was a thoroughly decent man above all else, but he could be ruthless and he was
unsympathetic to a lot of people.
He could be arrogant. That goes with being a brilliant engineer.
Brilliant engineer because he ran a submarine. But I think that it was the 55 miles an hour speed limit that made most people angry.
Especially where you live, out west, not so much in the Northeast. A lot of people actually liked it, not where you live.
No, probably in almost all the country, all those red states. And and that idea of wear a sweater and turn your heat down. He was just tone deaf on a lot of stuff.
I think he was a tone deaf visionary. In many ways, he was way ahead of his time.
Okay. So this is an interesting one, Taylor. You asked me to include this one. There's a teeny little Jimmy Carter in there, peeking out between Tip O'Neill and Jesse Jackson. What's going on here on this oldie?
This is a cover I drew for the New Republic. It was my first cover for the New Republic. I did a lot of work for them for about 16 years, I think. But Democrats, unlike Republicans, are super into recriminations, as it says there in the title.
Democrats give as good as they get for recriminations.
No. What I mean is that they whenever they lose, they're merciless on themselves. They self-flagellate. Whereas Republicans just move on, or in recent years, they just deny they lost, or they just dig. I remember there was supposed to be a sort of a post-mortem for the Republicans after Romney lost, because so many Republicans thought he would win, even though they didn't really like him. But the post-mortem was immediately ignored, and they went back to being what they are. You know, Democrats are tearing themselves up now, even though Trump got like 49.8% of the vote and Harris got 48.4%. And yet it's as though the sky had fallen and that this is the most crushing victory since FDR beat Hoover in 32. Okay.
Taylor. Only one person in this image is still alive. And who is that?
Jesse Jackson.
Jesse Jackson, the only one still alive, which is, as our drawings get older, your first magazine cover, they just pass away.
I should point out that the Jimmy Carter in this piece, it's like each character there is blaming the other. Mondale's blaming himself, but everybody's also blaming Jimmy Carter, even 4 years later.
Okay. And here you have Jimmy Carter. Tell us about this. This is from your president's book.
This is, talk about old, I'll take my glasses off. I'd like to read this. I've done this many times, but I drew a book, Adverse to Presidents, 1981. It was published, I think, in 82. So I did all the presidents from Washington to Reagan. And all the originals were in color, but I tried to find publishers. And rather than be a writer who decides I'm going to get what I want and go to 30, 50 publishers, I finally settled on a publisher. And I settled, unfortunately, for him producing it and in grayscale and sell it, a very cheap production. And it didn't sell very much, but it still pops up once in a long while. You can find it on Amazon.
So update it and redo it.
I've thought of it. That's a lot. I've thought of doing that. I
have a question for you, Taylor. Why the Confederate battle flag on his hat?
Yes, I wouldn't do that now. But people have to remember, and you will remember this, is that Jimmy Carter was the first celebrated governor of the New South. That was a new term. And it was a term where the South was booming, where the South was changing a corner, certainly in civil rights, where cities like Atlanta and Birmingham and other major Southern cities were electing black mayors. And back then, you had Carter and a number of other Democrats leading to Bill Clinton eventually, they had cast aside a lot of the racial things they would campaign on, and they would enlist the support of African Americans. In fact, George Wallace did that himself, running for re-election in 1970. He suddenly was, or maybe it wasn't 70, might have been 72, I forget. But he too suddenly was championing civil rights, which is interesting because he was something of ahead of his time early on in his career before he figured that you got to play the race card if you're going to win. And in that time, and as Jimmy Carter ascended to the White House, there was a celebratory nature of the South, and in some ways the Confederate
flag. There's nothing new South about the Confederate battle flag.
Let me finish you. You can edit out as much as you want. But the thing was that there was a certain, even though the Confederate battle flag was still associated with the Klan, etc., there was a certain kitschiness to it at the same time. And one of the most popular television programs of the day was The Dukes of Hazzard. And The Dukes of Hazzard, I've maybe watched it once or twice, but the lead character, a guy who
it was on top of their car.
It's right. He had the stars and bars emblazoned on the hood of his car. And he later ran for Congress in Georgia and served a few terms. I think his name was Ben Jones. But that's why this was the kitschy era. So that's why I have it on there. But may I read it?
Sure. Go ahead.
James Earl Carter hailed from the South. A few too many teeth in his mouth. During winter, he wore a cardigan sweater. Perhaps someday we'll understand him better. He made us a promise never to lie, but look into his rattlesnake eyes. As commander-in-chief, he was man of the hour, but Jimmy Carter never understood power. The result was that Jimmy lost some respect. Old Brezhnev thought him a total reject. His brother provided him grand entertainment till Billy signed on as a Libyan agent. At Carter's legislation, the Congress balked. At his ego, Teddy quite mocked. In the foreign arena, Jimmy made his last stand. They're trapped by mullahs in Iran's shifting sand.
That was very nice, Taylor.
Thank you. That of the poems I wrote from Washington to Reagan, I think this one has stood the test of time. I don't mean to sound boastful here, but I think both as Carter was and as people looking back at him, I think this is pretty accurate.
This is one of my favorites, and this hangs on my wall. This is your presidents all together, although not including Trump.
I was commissioned to do this by the Chicago Tribune, and it ran in a special section. Of course, Obama, being a Chicago guy, for his inauguration, the newspaper had a supplement, and this ran somewhere in the supplement.
I think this is just a beauty, and you had them make an uncomfortable edit on this. This was the original.
The original.
Our older viewers will remember the incident where an Iraqi guy in a press conference threw a shoe at President Bush. And you had him throwing the shoe, but your editors didn't want that. So you put John Adams in there instead of the shoe.
I chose John Adams after the man threw two shoes. And one thing that Bush demonstrated, that he was a pretty athletic and man of good reflexes.
He ducked those shoes very effectively. It looked expert at doing it first time.
Like he'd been hurled at before. But they didn't want to do that. And they didn't. The thing is, if I recall, they didn't make the objection right away. I guess it passed through several hands and said, wait, we can't have this. So I had to add that very quickly. And I think, did I send you both?
So Taylor.
Yes.
That was the last one.
Didn't mean to boast there about the Carter inclusion in the adverse to presidents. Yeah.
So Taylor, any last words about Jimmy Carter?
It's amazing. He wrote so many books. I didn't know this. I know he wrote some books of poetry. I don't know that they sold well, although being former president, they probably sold better than any other poet's works. But he was an aficionado of Dylan Thomas, and he went to some big celebration of Thomas in Wales.
This is a podcast with young people watching. You've got to explain Dylan Thomas. Anyway,
okay, then I guess I have nothing else to say about Jimmy Carter.
All right, Taylor. I think we had an excellent podcast today. Thank you so much for joining me here.
My pleasure, and I feel honored to be one of your solo guests.
Oh, very good. Remember to subscribe to the Kegelcast wherever you're watching or listening today. Our Kegelcast is available in both video and audio versions. So if you don't see the cartoons, go to Kegel.com or Apple Podcasts or Rumble or YouTube or Spotify or Kegelcast.com to see the cartoons in the video podcast. And Taylor, thank you again so much for joining us.
Anytime.
All right. That is the end, and we will see you later.